an answer on this side. Job said, therefore, I have uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job said, look, I don't know why this happened, but you know one thing I do know? I do know that God is in control.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 1.
All right. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And here, Peter writing to some believers who were scattered abroad in the midst of persecution, he says this to them. He said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And the title of the message today, and I'm sure that this is not going to be a popular message today. Actually, this is going to be a three-week series, so I'm letting you know that right now. So somebody say, well, I'll see if I can find somewhere else to go for the next 2 weeks. But we're going to be dealing with this idea, and I don't even know why the Lord laid this on my heart. Called to suffer. Called to suffer. And once again, as we look at the body of Christ today, we see that suffering is not a popular message. But the reality is, if you look around, there are a lot of people in the body of Christ hurting today. And some of those same people who are espousing this prosperity theology and talking about, you should never have to go through any difficulties or trials in life. I see some of the same ones going through it. And so, you know, how do we deal with this in the church? How do we answer this question of the suffering of the saints? I just look at, as I said, things that are going on right around us. You know, it grieves my spirit. You know, I was upset when I found out. I was out of town this weekend. When I got back in town and found out that one of our young people had been jumped by 10 community people, man, that grieved my spirit. And so, I mean, we got to come to the reality that suffering is real and that it's a part of our existence. And unless we learn how to deal with it, we are not going to make it through the victory. And so we're dealing with this idea of being called to suffer. Now, I don't want to be called to suffer. I was reading something somewhere, and it said that, you know, we would rather much go look in the store window at the nice suit or the nice dress than to see somebody out on the side of the street. You know, we'd rather go to the movie theater than to go to the nursing home or the hospital. Why? Because we don't like to see people suffer. We don't like to deal with suffering. I would say of all the things that I do as a pastor, counseling, teaching, preaching, going to meetings, you know, one of the hardest things for me to do is to go to the hospital. You know, why? Because it's hard to see people when they're sick and when they're suffering. But yet and still, that's a part of our existence. That's a part of our life. So we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks, called to suffer. And we're not only going to deal with the idea of suffering, but how to get the victories through suffering. You know, we're going to deal with, you know, how to not be bitter when you go through suffering. How not to be angry. How to have the joy of the Lord. How to get meaning out of your suffering. You know, we're going to be talking about all those things as we deal with this concept of suffering. Amen. There was a lady who took her husband to the doctor's office for a checkup. He had been feeling kind of bad, and he was suffering from a very serious infection. And the husband, who was hard of hearing, depended upon his wife for everything that was said. And so they went to the doctor. The doctor checked out this individual and come to the realization that unless this man received certain care, that he wasn't going to make it, that his life would be ended. And so he said to the wife, the doctor did, that this man is going to have to make it, but it's going to be very difficult unless he gets certain things. You know, there's a ray of hope in the midst of his suffering. And she said, well, what needs to be done? And the doctor said, Well, you know, he first of all, his stress has got to be reduced. That each morning he needs to have a healthy breakfast. You need to come and be pleasant and nice and kind to him. For lunch and dinner, you need to make his favorite meal. And don't discuss any problems, because it's just going to make his situation worse. Don't argue with him, or don't yell at him. And more importantly, you've got to cater to every whim that he has. And if you do that, your husband might make it through. Like I said, the husband was hard of hearing. And he said to the wife, well, what did the doctor say? She said, man, you're going to die. Yeah, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. And so we see that suffering is a part of our experience. If you have your notes this morning, I want to ask that you would pull out your notes. And as we look at the context of this particular passage, if you want to read along with me, you can, in the context. Peter writes this epistle to believers scattered throughout Asia Minor, and we see that in chapter 1 and verse 1. His purpose for writing was to encourage them as they were going through many trials. In the text under consideration, he informs these individuals that they were called to suffer. Even Jesus told the disciples that they would have to face persecution in John 15, 20. We can conclude from the words of Peter and the words of Christ that at some point, believers will have to go through suffering. This suffering may come through the hands of one's enemies or as a result of the heartaches that everyone will face in this life. But be it known, sooner or later, you are going to have to face some suffering. Life is not suffering free. You know, life is not a place where you can go through unscathed by trial and tribulation. That if you live long enough, as I always say, you're either in a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. And Peter lets these people know that they were called to suffer. Now, I'm glad I'm called to preach, but I don't think I want to be called to suffer. But there is the idea that some people have this call to suffering. And even if you haven't received that call to a greater degree, like I said, at some point in time, it's going to touch your life. Well, how do we define suffering? Suffering is a state or experience of enduring physical, mental, or emotional pain. That whenever you would find yourself enduring physical pain or mental pain, or emotional pain, you can identify with suffering. How is suffering displayed? Well, suffering can be displayed on many levels. It can be displayed in the form of illness, cancer, heart disease. That's a form of suffering. Somebody going through a cold might be going through a time of suffering. And we know that when death invades our ranks, that is a time of suffering in the lives of God's people. Sad to say, there's adultery, there's divorce. Those are forms of suffering that many people in the body of Christ are facing today. Y'all heard a statistic today that was very troubling. And it said that 65% of all people that get married today, that marriage will end up in a divorce. 65%. Man, that's jumped. That, you know, a couple years ago, it was 50%. Now, 65%. And along with that involves suffering, especially if you bring children into the equation, that there is suffering that is attached with that. As we look at our society today, we see that there are injustices that cause people suffering. Loss of employment is a form of suffering. If you go to your job and you receive opposition on your job, that is suffering. Wayward children. You know, you raise your children up to love the Lord, and even if they don't love the Lord, at least you hope that they would turn out to be positive role models in society. And yet and still, we see so many going down the other path. And for the parent, that's a form of suffering. To know that your dreams, your goals, your ideas, the things that aspirations that you had for your children, to see them all go by the wayside. And then to have to watch them fail time after time again. To bump their head against the wall time after time again when you know that they don't have to. You know, for the parent, that is a form of suffering. Gossip. If somebody gossips about you, they talk about you, that's a form of suffering. Abuse in the home. Abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse. That's a form of suffering. And then just being in a bad relationship, you know, where you got to constantly be in conflict and turmoil with the individual that you're in the relationship with. That's a form of suffering. I told y'all before, somebody said in marriage, there are three rings. There's the engagement ring, there's the wedding ring, and then there's suffering. And so, you know, a lot of people see marriage as being that third ring in that relationship. And, you know, I've never seen such a day where I've seen people that are married want to get out of marriage and people who aren't married wanting to get into marriage. You know, I just don't understand how this thing works in our society today. I'm working on that message now, the world gone mad, because it has truly gone mad. So as we look at suffering defined, suffering displayed, suffering discovered, where does suffering come from? Well, suffering comes from four sources. First of all, suffering comes as a result of sin. Now, when I say sin, I'm not talking about your individual sin. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But think about this for a moment, that when God created the heavens and the earth, he said everything was good back in Genesis. As he looked at it, he saw that everything was good. Well, you know what? When he said it was good, you know what that meant? That meant that suffering was not a part of the equation. That there was, in God's mind, no concept in and among his people of suffering. But when sin entered into the world, along with sin came suffering. That's why sin entered into our bodies. And before that, Adam never would have got sick. Eve would have never got sick. They wouldn't have had to take any Theraflu or any type of headache medication, anything like that. Why? Because they would have never got sick. But when sin came in the body, suffering came along with it. And so as a result of that, in the book of Romans, Paul said that all creation is groaning, waiting to be delivered. And so sometimes people say, if God is a loving God, why did he let all those people get killed over there in Indonesia? Well, you know what? That wasn't necessarily God. Even though we know that God is all powerful and God is in control, that wasn't necessarily God. That's just a part of a cursed creation. In a cursed creation, we have tsunamis. In a cursed creation, we have earthquakes. In a cursed creation, we have hurricanes and we have mudslides. That's not necessarily anybody's fault in particular. That's just a part of living in a cursed creation. Now, one day, creation is going to be delivered, and those things will not be a part of the equation anymore. But that is one source of suffering. Another source of suffering is what I call simpleness. Just plain old simpleness. People doing simple things and they bring problems on themselves, and that is a cause of their own suffering. You know, for somebody to get drunk and to go out and try to drive a vehicle, you got to be the biggest knucklehead in the world. I'm just gonna say that. Now, I don't know, we as Christians sometimes, you know, we don't go out and guzzle, but we do sip our little brewskis and wine coolers and stuff like that. But you know what? And then to get behind a vehicle and have your vision and have your judgment impaired, and then, you know, end up in an accident and hurt somebody else. Well, see, you know, that suffering is just a result of simpleness. You know, not taking care of your body now. You know, how you treat your body now. For those of us who are still under 50. Well, I'm not in that category anymore, am I? You know, how you treat your body now most likely will mean how it will treat you years from now. And so, you know, if you don't take care of your body now, and you don't watch your body now, you don't take care of things now, then guess what? You know, when you get up there, then you're going to have some suffering that you might have to deal with. So, you know, here we see that suffering sometimes comes from simpleness. Sometimes suffering comes. Now, I got scriptures here, so, I mean, you can read all those scriptures. I'm trying to save us looking to these scriptures till we get to some of these key verses. But here, suffering comes from Satan. Suffering comes from Satan. There's no question that Satan is at the source of some people's suffering. Look at Job. Satan took his possessions, Satan took his family, and then finally Satan took his health. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, he said there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to afflict my body. So Satan is at the source of some suffering. And then you know what? Just by nature of the fact that you are a child of God, just being a child of God, sometimes you're going to face suffering. Whether it's through salvation, sanctification, or service, you are going to face suffering just because of who you are. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you walk in the right road, when you're doing the right thing, when you're trying to live your life in such a way that you're trying to please God, then guess what? You're going to get some opposition. A young person that's out here trying to keep themselves pure, that's out here trying to not defile themselves sexually, guess what? Oh, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Are you still a virgin? There must be something wrong with you. You see, when you try to walk right and do right, you're going to get opposition. You're going to get people that are wondering what's wrong with you. They're going to call you crazy. They're going to call you foolish. They're going to call you stupid. Oh, you mean to tell me you don't want to go and do such and such a thing with us? Why is that? Because I'm trying to please God. I'm trying to walk after God. Well, what's wrong with you? And so persecution comes sometimes. Suffering comes sometimes just as a result of you wanting to take a stand to do the right thing. Suffering defined, suffering displayed, suffering discovered. Now let's look at suffering dissected. Where does suffering appear? Where do we see it at? Well, the first thing that I want to say about suffering is that suffering is excruciating. It's excruciating. It's painful. You know, when a husband, and we were at a conference last week, and this pastor of this church got up and went to say how that he was in a building project, and they had just raised the funds to be able to put up a building and pay for it. And he said, man, that was one of the greatest highs of his life. And then he went home after that, and his wife told him that she was leaving him for another man. He said, man, the devastation and the hurt that came. I mean, as he shared his testimony, you could see the hurt on his face. You could feel the hurt in his heart. And any of you that have ever been through suffering, you know that suffering hurts, whether it's through physical affliction, whether it's through mental affliction, whether it's through emotional affliction. Man, suffering hurts. It drains on you emotionally. Man, it consumes your mind, your attention. It gives you agony in the soul. It gives you pain in your heart. Man, suffering hurts. If you've ever been through it, there may be somebody that's sitting there right now, and you're going through suffering. Man, you're hurting. I would imagine that in a crowd of this size, that everybody in here is not with a soul that's light and clean and no burden in your soul. There's some folk here today that's hurting. I mean, you weighed it down, and it's a painful thing. And that's a part of what suffering is. Man, suffering hurts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Peter says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrong. He says sometimes you as a believer will suffer for the wrong thing, something that you didn't even do. But look what he says here. He says that you endure what? Grief. This word grief is a very interesting word. It comes from the Greek word lupe, and it means pain in the body or in the mind. Pain in the body or in the mind. And so in other words, he's saying if some of you are suffering with pain in the body or mind as a result of wrongdoing, this is a hurting thing. Man, and that's why sometimes the saints have to be sensitive to those who are in the body that are hurting, because you never know the depth of the agony and the anguish that's in their spirit, because it's something that is tearing them apart inside. You know, I've had some great hurts in my life, but I can honestly say, and I hope that at no time soon will I have to be hurt like some I've seen hurt. The deepness of the hurt, the wound that's there. Suffering is excruciating. The second thing we see is that suffering is an enigma. Suffering is an enigma. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean that suffering is puzzling. You can't figure suffering out. Job lost everything. He lost everything. And as you read the whole book of Job, now, as we read it, we know what was going on. We know what the deal was. But Job, I don't see anywhere where Job was ever told why he went through what he went through. And so here he had to deal with this situation. Look at Job 42. Job 42. And Job, I mean, God confronts Job and asks Job a series of questions that just leaves Job flabbergasted. And in Job 42, the scripture says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he who hideth counsel without knowledge? Look what Job says here. And you know, this is where many people are. This is where many people are when they want to find out, God, why did you let me go through this? God, why did you take my baby? God, why did you let me get in that car accident and wreck my car? God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? You know what? There may not be an answer on this side. Job said, therefore, I have uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job said, look, I don't know why this happened, but you know one thing I do know? I do know that God is in control. And you know, sometimes, saints, I just want to say this, that when you're going through it, there's no answer. There's no, you know, I wish that Pastor Glaze could open up the word of God and say, well, look, this is why you are suffering. This is why you are going through what you're going through. But you know, for some things, there's just no answers. For some things, they just will be an enigma. And we just have to rely on the, not only on the words of scripture, but on the words of the song that says, we'll understand it better by and by, by and by. That's the only, I need some. See, sometimes folk want to answer. Sometimes folk want to answer. I had a person that called me one time, and they had lost a child, and they couldn't figure out why God would take their child. And I was about the third or fourth person that they had talked to, and they had talked to pastors, and nobody could answer why that child was taken. And you know what?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Called to Suffer, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.